Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.
It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Coming up, arguments before the Michigan Supreme Court about Line 5. First, though, what happens to that plastic jug when you're done with it? Plastic is everywhere. And to get rid of all those water bottles and takeout containers and shopping bags, you probably just throw them all into a recycling bin. So what happens after the bin leaves the curb or you go to the recycling center and dump it out into the large container? Most plastic ends up in a landfill. Some will be made into new products, and the trickiest plastics power a Northern Michigan factory. IPR's Vivian Law reports on how plastic gets recycled, or not, around Traverse City.
At a Traverse City parking lot, resident Hunter Schlies throws a month's worth of stuff, plastic bags, cups, cardboard packaging, into a bright green recycling drop-off bin.
I don't have a recycling thing at my apartment complex, so it's easier just to bring it here instead of anywhere else or throw it away and have it end up in a landfill. Hopefully it gets used for something else.
Plastic around here does get used for something else, according to recyclers in Northwest Michigan. But it depends on the type and how clean it is. And ultimately, only a fraction of the estimated 17,000 tons of plastic collected each year in Grand Traverse, Benzie, and Leelanau counties is recycled. Your water bottles, laundry detergent containers, milk jugs often go downstate to Dundee, where the company Clean Tech breaks them down into plastic pellets. That gets sold back to manufacturers who produce new plastic bottles, a win for the environment. Those are the easiest plastics to recycle, according to the largest recycler in the region, Green for Life, or GFL. That's because we use a lot of them and demand is high. Other types of plastics are taking a different journey. Some are heading to a local cement plant, where they're burned as fuel. Plastics like thin films, takeout containers, or toys. Material for which there's not a lot of demand. So GFL shreds those plastics to send to St. Mary's Cement in Charlevoix to power their high-temperature kilns. A St. Mary's spokesperson says plastic can replace the coal they typically use. Burning plastic emits less greenhouse gases than this dirty fossil fuel, and it means less plastic will end up in landfills. But some experts are skeptical about that trade-off.
The problem I have with burning plastics is that we already burned a lot of energy and generated a lot of emissions to make that plastic, and then we're just going to burn it.
That's plastic expert Ann McNeil, a professor at the University of Michigan.
You know, we used it once, maybe for 15 minutes to take something from the grocery store home, and then we're going to burn it and generate even more emissions.
All plastics are made from fossil fuels. So, she says, burning this material still releases greenhouse gases and contributes to climate change. And this process doesn't count as recycling under Michigan law. Still, some see plastic to fuel as the lesser evil compared to ending up in a landfill. When plastic breaks down there, it can leak dangerous chemicals into soil and groundwater. Andy Gale runs the nonprofit Bay Area Recycling for Community in Traverse City.
There isn't much of a market for a lot of these things because you can't get enough of it densified, transported. So that's why things like waste energy is a good end use.
Gale still collects what he can, gathering thin plastic packaging and shrink wrap from boats.
An example. We'll keep things sorted out. This is stretch wrap that comes off of material.
GFL would send this material to St. Mary's. Gale instead sends this plastic to a company called Trex that turns it into backyard decking and furniture. Plastic bags brought to grocery store drop-offs like at Meijer or Family Fair also go to Trex. Back at the Traverse City Recycling Drop-Off, recycling specialist Matt Flechter with Michigan's Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy scans the ground for stray recyclables he can toss into the green bins.
Whenever I show up at a drop-off, I help out.
Flechter's job is to close the loop between businesses using plastic and the ones processing and sorting it across the state. He says recycling is a choice about the future.
Do you want to keep that material circulating in the economy right now, turning into new park benches or plastic bags or glass bottles? Or do you want to leave that for some future generation to clean up?
But ultimately, Flechter says choosing to use less plastic when you can will have the greatest impact on our climate and environment. For IPR News, I'm Vivian Law.
We've got another recycling story for you tomorrow morning. We're going to hear what happens with glass in our region. IPR environment reporter Ellie Katz has that tomorrow. Attorneys argued before the state's Supreme Court yesterday over the future of Line 5. The controversial energy pipeline cuts a path through the Straits of Mackinac. The Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians and an environmental group say the state never did a full assessment of whether a plan by Enbridge Energy to continue operating Line 5 sufficiently protects the Great Lakes from an oil spill. Enbridge has proposed encasing a section of the line inside a tunnel. Riaz Kanji is an attorney with the environmental group For Love of Water, or FLO. He says more information is needed on the possible risks to the Great Lakes from an oil spill.
So what we want is to get to judgment on them, but the solution is not to go and rush judgment on this whole new project that Enbridge wants to engage in without adequate attention to the safety of that proposal.
John Birch is an attorney for Enbridge, and he says Line 5 is already there, and the choice is between the status quo or making the pipeline safer by encasing it in a tunnel. He says protracted litigation delays that.
Our interest is to get the project started tomorrow if we can. We would have loved to have started it 5 years ago if we could. But all the environmental groups who are supposedly trying to protect the environment are doing everything they can to stop the pro-environment option from happening.
There are multiple cases in the courts, by the way, on what should happen with Line 5. This is just one of them. The state Supreme Court is expected to make a decision on this one later this year. And a note that Enbridge is among the financial supporters of Interlochen Public Radio, but we cover them as we would any company. Well, a few more things to tell you about before we say goodbye for this episode of The Lowdown. A long-term look at parking needs for Traverse City's airport shows millions in expected upgrades over the next couple decades. This was in the Record Eagle this morning. They say it could cost $80 million to address all the upgrades necessary to handle the airport's growth. And Cherry Capital Airport, you might realize or already know, is growing a lot. Passenger records broken again and again and again over months. Upgrades would involve doubling the size of the new economy lot, converting the employee lot to a flexible use space, building more room for shuttles, and more. The bulk of the price tag would be for a three-level rental car facility. Sugarloaf, now officially in the hands of the Leelanau Conservancy. The transfer of the title was announced this week, and the so far anonymous donor of the property has become public. Back in 2020, the Edmund F. and Virginia B. Ball Foundation used a subsidiary to buy Sugarloaf. It's a 288-acre former ski resort. The conservancy plans to build trails for various uses, from hiking to snowshoeing to cross-country skiing. The area remains closed to the public while that transition happens. And Mama Lou's, a taco restaurant in downtown Traverse City, is changing names and food. The ticker reports that it'll keep the same owners, but soon be called Happy Cat and serve fast casual Asian food. Mama Lou's calls it quits on May 5th. The new restaurant opens about a week later. That's The Lowdown. For this Thursday, March 12th, I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening.